What's up, Think Realty Nation? It's Abhi Golhar. Welcome to the Think Realty Podcast. I'm really excited today. We have an awesome show lined up for y'all. It's going to be amazing. First and foremost, we're talking about Phoenix and the overall market. We are also interviewing my good friend Tom Olson from Good Success about masterminding. And we're also going to finish off the podcast with two really fun segments. The first is going to be about property management. Three pros, three cons. And then we'll follow that with a $239 million condo sale in New York that increased home prices by 10%. That's what's coming up on the show today. It's going to be a lot of fun. This podcast is brought to you by Renters Warehouse, one of the largest, fastest growing, highest reviewed property management companies in America. Let's get this podcast started. Let's talk about Phoenix, Arizona, and what you need to know so that you can rock and roll in Phoenix. Here's what you got to know. Start writing them down. Number one, as of the year end 2018, the presence of foreclosures in Phoenix and other distressed real estate opportunities has diminished significantly. Is that a good thing? Ding, ding, ding. Absolutely. Mark Stapp, who is the director of real estate programs at Arizona State University, quote, "We are a poster child for the housing market collapse." And this is really interesting information. One, quote, "We're going to continue to see a really stable housing market. The problem is that we're not building enough housing units. We have too much upward pressure on home prices and rents." Does that sound familiar? Maybe that's also partly in your area, and we have to build more supply to maintain affordability. I live in Atlanta. I'm feeling the heat here too. That's exactly what's happening here. For 2018, Adam Data Solutions reported a median sales price for the Phoenix metro area of roughly $250,000, $250,000, and that's roughly about an 8% increase from 2017. So what does that mean? All right, we're appreciating. Gotcha. According to Strap's report, Stapp estimates that demand for new housing units in Phoenix totals roughly about 28,000 units every single year. And that's 8,000 to 9,000 of those units are multifamily and 20,000 units being single family homes. Are you hearing opportunity? I am. Definitely check out Phoenix. And here's what's crazy. Here's the craziest part. For 2019, he estimates the total number of combined residential permits to a total of 33,324, with single family permits accounting for the bulk of this increase. Multifamily? Yes, absolutely. Let's rock in Phoenix. Now, to cap off all of it, here's what you need to know. Stapp also says, quote, "We have a very low inventory of existing homes, somewhere around 4 months. If you're looking for homes in the median price range $300,000 and below, we don't have it." That's what he says. So that's what the problem is for Phoenix, but it's not a problem for you. You're tuned into the show. You're tuned into the opportunity. You get the game. Check out Phoenix. Understand what the opportunity is. Now you know, and take advantage of it. Let's go make some money. Coming up right now, we have my good friend Tom Olson, who's going to talk a little bit about the power of a mastermind and why you should join one and potentially start one. We'll be right back. Think Realty Nation, welcome back to the Think Realty Podcast. I'm your host, Abhi Golhar. Now, today I want to talk about masterminding. And who better to invite onto the show to talk about starting a mastermind than the only, the great, the author, speaker, founder of Good Success, Mr. Tom Olson. Tom, welcome to the show.
What's going on, Abhi?
Hey,
man. How are you doing today, sir?
Good to see you again. Good to see you. So I'm excited to have this conversation because, quite frankly, there are a lot of investors, new investors, pro investors, semi-experienced investors that want to take their game to the next level. And it can be hard to do by yourself. So give me a rundown. Tell me who you are, what you do, and then we'll start talking about this mastermind concept.
Sure, absolutely. Tom Olson. My office right here is in Gary, Indiana. I have two big dreams and two big visions of my life: to number one, to give away $1 billion, and number two, to flip the entire city of Gary, Indiana. I do that with many different ways. I have a company called Olson Group Network where we build rental portfolios for investors, and I also have a mastermind called the Good Success Mastermind, and we basically focus on finding people of our same core values and putting them all in a room. And then we mastermind for 2 days. Then we have a day of something fun. And then a whole nother group comes in and we mastermind for 2 days as well. So the whole concept of masterminding comes from the book Think and Grow Rich, where it kind of says, if you'll put yourself in a room filled with, you know, super high integrity, people that you trust, and high achievers and high earners, like you will eventually like be able to solve the biggest problems in your business, the biggest problems in your life, and you'll be able to move on and be a whole lot more successful. So that's kind of like the big, you know, introduction to what is a mastermind.
So if I'm new to the real estate investing game, and there are a lot of new investors out there, right? Do I just sign up for a mastermind? Do I join a couple of meetup groups first? How do I get introduced to this entire concept of a mastermind and then find the one that's the right fit for me?
So there's two good questions there, and they probably have long answers for both of them. But the first question is like, do I just jump in and join a mastermind? And I would say probably not. I probably say no to more investors than we say yes to. In fact, I know I say no to more investors than I say yes to, because I believe that you have to get to at least a certain level before I think this is going to help you, you know, this realm. Maybe you can get into a mastermind of a bunch of new beginners or a bunch of people that are just starting out, and maybe you can help solve each other's problems like that. But for me, this is kind of a lot. I can't get people from the 0 to 5 yard line. That's not really what the mastermind's all about. The mastermind's kind of about getting people from that 20 yard line to the 50 yard line, or even to into the 100 yard
for
line.
For sure. I mean, I've been trying to get into your mastermind for like 18 years now. What is it? The hair? Like, I don't help me out, brother. Like, what kind of hair product do I need? Do I need a certain net worth? Like, do I have to?
I don't think you fill out the application yet. So, like, if you just fill out the application, we'll have a call and maybe we can see if you can get qualified, Avi. So, goodsuccess.com/mastermind, and you can definitely fill out the application there if you're interested in that. But so the first question was, do I just jump in? And the second question was, how do I find a good one? And I think how you find a good one is really like, what do you need? Because there is a lot of good masterminds, and I've been a part of 6 or 7 different ones. Right now, I probably am still a part of 4 in addition to mine. And I guess these are the questions that I think everybody ought to ask. Number one, who is in my top 5? And when I say who's in my top 5, I mean like who are the 5 or 7 or 10 people, whatever that is, whatever the number is for you that you think you need, who are those top 5 people that you can go to if you have a problem in accounting, or if you have a problem in law, or if you have a problem in just real estate investing strategy, or if you have a problem in HR, like as we become business owners, like we have issues that we've never had before because we used to have a job, most of us, you know? So like, I think everybody ought to have these experts in these different areas of their life or different areas of their business, and different masterminds, I think, are going to have different core geniuses in that particular mastermind. So I think you have to ask yourself these questions first. So who is in my top 5, and who do I want in my top 5? Who do I need in my top 5? And for us at Good Success, like we're more focused on doing the right thing and having the right kind of success and asking you why you're doing what you're doing. So if that's what you think you need, if nobody's asking you those questions, then you probably need those people in your life. So, you know, people don't most people don't have those, that group of people in their local network. So that's why for us, like we've had to go and find these national masterminds. And that, to me, that's like the very first thing you ought to be thinking of is, and most people in my mastermind say I'm in their top 5, or many other people in the mastermind are one of those people that they can call anytime or text and be like, hey, I got this issue. What do I do?
So this is where you don't necessarily have to be a jack of all trades, right? There are a lot of new investors and even pro investors. Pro investors are guilty of this. I've been guilty of this. I want to control everything, right? I'm like your OCD control freak, right? I want to know the process. I want to be the acquisition guy. I want to be able to negotiate. I want to be able to renovate, do all these things. And then you look at me, I'm 5'5" and 120 pounds, and I see a hammer. I'm not going to look at it. I cannot pick it up either. So being a jack of all trades is not a good thing. And that's why when you start a mastermind and when you feel personally qualified to do that, and now you're looking at expanding your business, it can really be a beneficial thing. Do you start out joining 1 mastermind, 2, 3, 4, like 5? Because you know, just you and I both know you've got good success. You have many other high quality masterminds out there. How do you pick once you've reached that pinnacle, you've reached that level and you said, hey, you know what? It's about time I got some more help. How do you choose?
Well, like I said, I think it kind of goes back to which questions are you asking yourself? I think that if you're thinking about going to a mastermind, in my opinion, I think that that's a leadership quality. It's a leadership quality to think, hey, I need somebody to question me just as much as I question everybody that works for me, right? So I guess my question to you is, who is questioning you? If you don't have somebody that's questioning you, then you probably should join a mastermind. And then number two is, who's asking the questions about your business that nobody else is asking?
Oh man, that's a
good one. You yourself are in the business too much and you got to kind of rise above it. You got to get away from it and you got to be vulnerable and expose yourself and say, hey, this is where I'm having problems, and let people, you know, kind of poke at you a little bit and be like, hey, what's this going, you know, what's going on with this situation? You know, you said this and that was kind of a red flag for me. And maybe you may not be thinking it's a red flag for you, but somebody else sees it in your business. Just like, you know, you, Abhi, can look at my business and be like, oh man, that's an issue, but I may not see it. So it works both ways. So
that's right.
And I think the biggest thing is we're all struggling with something. And, the people that are not a good fit for a mastermind are people that think that they can figure it all out. People that think that they know it all. People that think that they're really, I wouldn't even, if that's you, like, don't even join a mastermind because you're not going to fit in any mastermind.
Yeah. That's just bad news, right? Like, that's a candidate that you just don't want in your mastermind either, because quite frankly, you're not, this person will bring the wrong kind of energy. They're not going to be open. They won't want to share, and it's just not worth it at the end of the day. When I'm looking at a mastermind, do you think that I should look at one that is 10 members, 15 members? Because you have like these major multinational organizations that have thousands of members across the world. What's better, the larger network where you have access to more people, or the smaller, more tighter knit network that you can treat like a family, like your own?
So I think it all depends on where you're at in business, because they both have like different applications and different reasons why and different purposes. So I believe a real mastermind, there's a lot of people out there that call themselves masterminds, but unless you're following a structure similar to the structure that I'm going to give you that we set in our mastermind, I don't really honestly believe it's a real mastermind. A real mastermind is a mastermind that everybody that comes to the mastermind has an opportunity to come up in front of the room. Everything else is a conference. They just calling it a mastermind because the masterminding concept has gotten very popular. So they want to call it a mastermind. So whatever, it's not really a mastermind. It's a conference with one person speaking or five people speaking,
right?
Basically trying to educate you into selling their product, into buying their product.
Right. So that's no good. So that's what you got to be aware of. That's no bueno.
It's not a mastermind. Now, if you want a conference and you think that that's where you're going to get your network, whatever, then fine.
Right.
So, this is what every good mastermind will have. They'll have a structure where every single person comes to the mastermind and they have their own presentation. It normally lasts between 20 and 30 minutes. And they say who they are, where they do business, where they're from, you know, kind of a little bit about their background. If it's your first time, you might give some backdraft of how you got into real estate and what your story. What you do. So like if you're a fix and flipper, or if you own Think Realty, if you own Quest IRA, if you own whatever it is, whoever you are and what you do. And then I'm always looking for what you're really good at. So in order for me to give you advice, sometimes I have to know more about you to tell you what you should be spending your time in your business. If I don't know what you think you're really good at, then I don't really know which direction to go.
You got to open up. You have to be vulnerable.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, otherwise,
like, this is what I think I'm good at. Maybe this is what I suck at, you know?
So, right. You got the good looks going on. I'm just trying to be like you, right? Like you understand all this.
On.
I mean, that's why I can't even be part of the Good Success Mastermind. I mean, you know, come on.
We're going to get you there, sir. Yeah, we're going to get you there.
So you have to be open. You have to be vulnerable. You have to be willing to get advice as well.
Right. So then it kind of comes to the most important part of your presentation. All this is just to kind of give people some background and give people some understanding of who you are, what you do. I'm always looking for something that you've learned. So, and the reason why that's very key to me, because I want to know if somebody in the mastermind is learning every 6 months or every 3 months that we meet, because we meet every quarter live, and then we meet every month, you know, via Zoom call. But so I want to know what they've learned, because one of our core values is growth. And then finally, the last 10 minutes of that presentation, the last 10 minutes is spent on your biggest challenge. So what are you struggling with? What's in your business that if I was a magic genie and I could solve this one problem in your business that you just think the weight of the world would come off your shoulders. So, and then we give 5 to 8 minutes for everybody in the room to kind of give feedback. And we even have cards you write down and give suggestions as well, if you don't have time to get to it in the open air. But what happens is kind of like when everybody's given their suggestions, it's like this other mastermind sits above the room and everybody's learning from everybody. Everybody feels like, number one, they get encouraged because they think that Abhi's got everything figured out. And then when Abhi comes and it's like, oh, I'm a mess. I got this issue. And oh my goodness. Number one, it's one of the things that kind of is a core value for us, you know, kind of like have being truthful and in having integrity and all this stuff. But when you are open and honest and you kind of like admit your faults or admit issues, everybody else gets encouraged by it. Number two, there's somebody in that room that's probably gone through what you're going through, and they can tell you, hey, I did this and I made a big mistake. Don't make my mistake. Or, hey, I did this and it worked out really well for me. So they can kind of guide you along as if they were you. Mm-hmm. And then the third thing it does is it kind of draws the group closer to each other, and it lets people understand that everybody else is going through issues too. And that kind of gives people the right to have compassion. And then number four, like all the ideas that come, sometimes are $1 million ideas for everybody else in that room.
I know.
Even the people, the person in the front of the room is getting help, and that's amazing. But if you just took notes every single person, you'd have like, I mean, I've seen guys come out of our mastermind with 50, 60, 70 pages of notes in like 2 days. So, you know, just the ideas that come out, you know, I have a guy in my mastermind. He's like, every time I go to a mastermind, I get $1 million idea. And those things are true. Those things are awesome. Those things are amazing. But I guess I kind of go back to my very first question is, who is your top five and who do you need to put in your network? And I believe that most of those people have been found either through a long relationship with somebody or masterminds for me. So
that's right.
Now, and then I'm going to pull it back to your other question. As far as big mastermind, small mastermind,
yes.
I don't think a room larger than say 25 to actually do the masterminding it kind of gets too hard to open and be vulnerable in front of 100 people. Right. So when you get in that smaller group setting of, I'd say 25 or less, and that's kind of why we split our groups up and we don't like do everybody at once. That middle day is more for fun and more for keynotes and kind of more for what's relevant in the marketplace today. But those masterminding days are meant very specifically to help the people that are there. So it's not about good success. It's not about us teaching anything. It's really about the people that are in the mastermind. And I think that's what is the real power of the mastermind. So it kind of lets you get away, lets you have vision of your business from an outside perspective. It actually lets you focus on what's most important. The other thing that I think a good mastermind should offer is accountability. So we have accountability calls. We even have a workbook that we're working on right now that actually all the members will go through. And actually, a lot of times you go to a meeting and you think, you know, Abhi, I promise you, you're guilty of this. You think like what somebody says is the next best thing for you, right? It's like, oh, shiny object syndrome.
No, it happens all the time. Every single mastermind. I mean, even at Think Realty Leadership, it's like I'm writing notes. I'm that guy that has 150 pages of notes when Tom Olson is, you know, has the floor. I'm like, okay, geez, I got to do all this stuff. And then it's the one idea for everybody that's speaking. And then I have to go implement these things. So it's really tough. We do have to wrap up in 30 seconds, though.
We have actually made it so you can be a whole lot better with that. And I think that accountability of what's really the most important and what really is the most advantage for you is what's something that should be done in a mastermind.
Hey, I'm with you. So my big takeaway from this entire mastermind conversation, it's like a trainer, a personal trainer that will just tweak you a little bit here and there. And if you're doing bicep curls, it's like the little twist. Then all of a sudden, you know what? You have explosive growth, the exact same thing. So if you're new, gain a little experience, find the mastermind network, understand what a mastermind means to you, find the right mastermind, join. It might be a little pricey, but you know what? It's worth it because of the folks that are there. It's the cumulative consciousness of the knowledge in the room. That's what you're going for. Tom, thanks so much for joining me. I certainly appreciate it. What's the best way that our listeners and our viewers can get in touch with you?
So we've got two things. Number one, the Good Success Podcast. So you can find us on all podcast platforms and www.goodsuccess.com. If you are interested in the mastermind, you can actually fill out the application there. I will have a conversation personally with you and see if you are a good fit for the mastermind.
Awesome. That's Tom Olson with Good Success. Stay tuned. We have another really cool segment that you don't want to miss that's coming up right after this. Be right back. What an awesome interview with Tom Olson. Make sure to get in touch with him. Super easy to do it. Check out the Good Success Podcast and then, of course, goodsuccess.com. Let's roll right into the three pros and three cons of multifamily property management. My good friend Mark Cunningham wrote an article very recently for Think Realty Online where he talks about three pros. Number one, there's only one location for a multifamily apartment complex. There's one roof. Awesome, right? It's not too difficult. So that's a pro. Another pro is there's a lower price per unit. When you're negotiating to purchase 100, 150, 200,000, 200 unit apartment complex, guess what? You're not looking at paying $200, $150, $80,000 a unit in most cases. You're looking at between $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 a unit. So there's definitely a lower price per unit. You see what I mean there? The economics can definitely make sense. There's also a third pro, which is it's easier to increase property value, which is also true. You can offer more amenities for a multifamily apartment complex than you can a single family rental. You can also renovate the units. You can also increase the services from the property management company. You can remove the existing property management that may not be doing such a good job, and you can install one, you can hire one that is better. So there are more ways to make money with a multifamily apartment complex. Now, it's interesting. I have a fund that invests in multifamily apartment complexes, and I see these types of pros all the time. But there are also some cons to investing in multifamily apartment complexes. Here are the three. There's frequent turnover. Let's face it. If I am renting a single family home, I'm most likely going to be there for 2, 3, maybe 4 years. For a multifamily apartment complex, not necessarily the case. Not necessarily the case. There's going to be frequent turnover, which means that you're going to have to make your units rent ready. You're going to have to turn the units, and that can also come at a higher cost depending on what's going on in the area. Okay, number one. Number two, the second con, it's harder to sell an apartment complex. That's a savvier investor, and now you're looking at operating a business, and you have to look at the NOIs, you have to look at the P&Ls, the profit and loss statements, you have to look at the previous 12 months of rents and what was going on with the apartment complex, and quite frankly, it's easy to hide some of the stuff in the numbers, and let's face it, for a lot of new investors, that can be a challenge because we don't know how to read these financial statements. So understanding how to read financial statements, if you want to get into this game, is going to be very important for you, okay? Overall, though, it is harder to sell. So be sure that your property is making money consistently. And of course, you're treating all your investors correctly if you've raised capital to buy that apartment complex. Con number three. Market competition. We just talked about this. When a local rental market heats up, guess what's happening right now? Local markets are heating up, especially the local rental markets are heating up. You're going to have Class A that's being built all around you. What does that mean for your Class B and potentially Class C properties? Well, your tenants are going to go to your Class A's and you're going to have to make improvements, which is what happens across the board. That's going to cost money. And sometimes, you know what? That may lead to lower retention of your tenants, and they might go elsewhere. So the three pros, the three cons of multifamily apartment complexes, your framework, if you're looking at investing in an apartment complex, you don't necessarily have to go single family and then multifamily and then commercial. Your framework is just due diligence. Understand what it takes to buy, to invest, and understand what your profit and loss statements will look like, your T12s, your trailing 12s, and I want to see every single one of those rental deposits. That's what's happening. If you don't have the right due diligence, guess what? You're going to lose. So those are the three pros, three cons. Check out Mark Cunningham's article that dives into each one of these a little bit deeper on thinkrealty.com. So this next segment is brought to you by Narada Real Estate Investments, your premier source for cash flow investment property. Make sure to visit turnkeyrealestateinvestments.com and tell Marco Abhi said hi. So a bit of interesting news. Out of Manhattan, New York, New York, New York, Ken Griffin's $238 million condo purchase single-handedly increased home prices by 10%. Okay, that's over $100,000. And you know what? Some property owners are okay with it. Some quite not so much. I mean, obviously that has an impact on the tax base. Now you're paying more taxes, etc. But here's some interesting information coming out of CNBC. This is the sale that shocked the world and, of course, the housing data. Now, this is hedge fund billionaire Ken Griffin. The $238 million purchase single-handedly boosted the average sales price by $100,000 in the first quarter. This is absolutely insane. A report from Douglas Elliman and Miller Samuel showed that the average sales price for an apartment in Manhattan rose nearly 10% to about $2.1 million in the first quarter of this year. So what's interesting about this is, should I be acting on this data, right? If I'm an investor and I'm thinking, okay, maybe there's an appreciation play here. No need to act on this data, right? I think this is just kind of interesting. The fact that a $238 million purchase will have that much of an impact. I thought it would probably have some more impact. It's $100,000 in the first quarter. I'm excited to see what happens for the remainder of the year for the other homes that have sold, because now you're using the $238 million condo purchase as a comp, as long as the others comp out properly. So should be interesting. But if I'm a New Yorker, am I going to go and start buying condos in Manhattan, hoping that I'm going to see a pretty crazy valuation? No, not so much. Quite frankly, I would stick to identifying opportunities in the Midwest. The article goes on to say, quote, it turns out the sales price average was given a big lift by this purchase. Naturally, of course, without the deal, the average sales price would have been $2 million, roughly about $2 million. And this is coming from Jonathan Miller, who's the CEO of the appraisal and research firm Miller Samuel. So what do I think? What should you think as an investor? Act on it or not? Get in touch. I want to hear your comments. I want to hear your questions about this specific thing, because this happens in your neighborhoods and in cities across the United States every single day, doesn't it? So if you want to have that conversation, go to thinkrealty.com, get in touch, ask the question, let's have a conversation. If you're in, say, my friend Tom Olson's city of Gary, Indiana, and you find a big mansion that's being built for, say, $500,000 or $600,000 or $700,000, how does that affect the surrounding neighborhoods? And should you be acting on that and just going all in? Probably not. No, I would stick to a very simple investment philosophy. If you understand why something's working and how it works, then buy in. If you don't, then don't worry about it. And quite frankly, I'm just copying Warren Buffett's theory. I think that's what he said. So $238 million purchase. It's out there. It's good. I think it's awesome for Manhattan, the city of New York. But you know what? As an investor, that's how far I'm staying away from it. I can't get far enough away. So that wraps up the show. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. And I will say this. Interviewing Tom and interviewing some of the amazing guests that we have coming up for y'all is going to be a treat, not only for me, but also for you. We'll be doing deeper dives into investing strategies that you can use today to really positively impact your portfolio, to help you get started investing in real estate, and to help you tweak out that business process so you can really scale that flipping operation or that wholesaling operation, and ultimately to realize that passive income is the way to go. And I really want to ask you to join me on this journey. As I learn, as you learn, we can share that dialogue attend some of the Think Realty conferences and expos around the country, and join the fun, and more specifically, celebrate you as an investor and celebrate your future success. Because by listening, by watching, it all starts now. Thank you so much. Again, check out thinkrealty.com. Join the fun, join the conversation. I'm going to be here guiding you along the way. I'm going to be here a couple days a week. We got the radio show on the weekends. We got the podcast coming at you a couple times a week. And again, if you have questions, you can find me anywhere online. You can also check me out. Go to thinkrealty.com. To wrap it all up, this podcast was brought to you by Renters Warehouse, one of the largest, fastest growing, highest reviewed property management companies in America. Check them out, renterswarehouse.com. Until next time, Think Realty Nation, happy investing.